And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In my bishop travels over the years, I've had occasion to visit a beautiful little corner of France near Switzerland in the Alps called the Dauphiné. And there's a mother house of traditional nuns of Christ the King and a convent school. It's a very beautiful setting. Quite near to this mother house is an ancient shrine going back to the 16th century of Our Lady, called Our Lady of Loisier. There the Virgin Mary appeared to save one Protestant's soul. You see how dear each soul is to the Mother of God. And in the old days, there used to be a pilgrimage drawing as many as 30,000 people to this shrine. At some point during the 19th century, the original manuscript, which held the story of the apparition and the first miracles, including several stillborn babies who were brought back to life by the Blessed Mother so they could be baptized, the manuscript had fallen into disrepair. It was a precious book, and it was decided that it would be sent to the very best book bindery in Paris. And the master of that workshop assigned the work to a young man who was still a teenager, but he was very talented. He had a curious story. He had left home, having made his first communion at the age of 13, and is still the case sometimes today. His first communion was his last communion. Well, he had left home and gone to Paris to make his way in the world and learn this art. He was a very, very gifted young man, but at the same time, he lost the gift of the faith, and the big lights of Paris did him in physically as well, and he had tuberculosis. And sometimes you would see in his eyes that despair. He knew he was going to die. But he set about the work, and he was proud of his work. He did a magnificent job. They say that bookbinders don't usually read what they bind. They just go about their business. They wouldn't have time to. But for some reason, he leafed through the book, and he was interested by it. More than interested, he was moved by the healing of the sick that took place, especially these miracles of Our Lady bringing back the dead to life. And he thought to himself, a little prayer, Très Sainte Vierge Marie, Most Holy Virgin Mary, if she can restore the dead to life, maybe she could heal me. It was just a thought. Well, he finished the book, and instead of just giving it in to be given back to the shrine, he snuck it home with him. Home was just a little rented room someplace. And that night, he read the entire book, from the start to the finish. And when he finished the book, he knelt down and he prayed, first time in a long time. My good mother, he said, heal me, mother of orphans, and I will go to give thee thanks at Loisier. Now, the only prayer he could remember at that point was the Hail Mary, but that's fine. If you can say your Hail Mary, you'll be all right. Some of them had the idea of novenas, because novenas were very popular in France back then. So every night, for 9 nights in a row, he would say some Hail Marys and that very simple prayer to Our Blessed Mother. The 9th night, he thought, he felt better. But he thought, well, maybe it's my imagination. He went to see the doctor, and the doctor checked him as well as he could, and there wasn't a single trace of any tuberculosis. And the doctor found that very strange, but the boy didn't. He knew the Mother of Orphans was helping him. He got permission personally to deliver the book back to the shrine. And when he delivered the book, he delivered on the promise that he had made. He received the sacraments, and he stayed praying a long time before Our Lady's altar. Virgin Mary, Mother of Orphans, I thank thee, for in healing my body, you have healed my soul by restoring my faith. That's a beautiful prayer. This story and the prayer itself sort of summon up and summarize for us all of the different elements we've been speaking about for many weeks now, about healing, healing in faith, healing bodies as a sign of healing souls, the coming of God's kingdom, and the role of the Virgin Mary in all of this, of course. Now today, the Church offers us the victory, which is our faith. But in order to claim it, you must believe. It is not a mere sort of an intellectual thing, right? I will admit that this and this and this is true. More than that. More than just the head. It has to overflow into the heart so as to make you trust our Lord. Do you remember that story we did during Lent of the hemorrhaging woman? That's the kind of faith that she had. I call it fuel faith, because it gets you where you need to go. It's fuel faith because it is expensive. It's not cheap. It moves us not just to go to our Lord and to ask, but it moves us to invest, to stake some vital part of our lives on God and on doing His adorable will. This is the kind of faith that Abraham had, St. Paul says, and which justified him. This is the kind of faith which made that father willing to sacrifice his only son, because that was God's will. This is the kind of faith which doesn't stay in a book, even the most beautifully bound volume. It overflows and flows back upon us again. It is a faith which passes platitudes. Oh, God is good, and I know God loves me, and God loves everyone. Amen. Oh, no. This is a faith that sets the world on fire. But see how it starts. It is profoundly personal. So St. Paul could write, Dilexit me et tradidit semit ipsum pro me. He loved me, and he gave himself up for me. And St. John, what we have seen with our eyes and touched with our hands. So I know, I've seen it, I felt it, as Thomas was invited to in today's gospel. I know he loves me. He wants only my eternal welfare. He is always seeking to draw me closer to his sacred heart. He wants to open my eyes to his plan, his supernatural plan for my life. This is the new life of Easter. You might call it a kind of a new philosophy of life. It makes us to trust that even if we don't get what we've set out to receive in prayer, say some, well, it could be a specific physical healing we're asking for, that the prayer is still heard, that healing is still ours. But maybe it just goes to the heart, because the heart needs it more than some organ in the body, or goes to the mind, or goes to your immortal soul. But it goes to bring you victory. But this victory comes only if we surrender. Surrender our lives to that one person who will never let us down. This is an enormous undertaking. Everything about us says, just trust yourself. You can trust anybody else. They'll do you in, you know. You could never drum this up on your own, this idea of trusting our Lord so much. It flies in the face of the world's wisdom and of human logic. But how logical was it? Think of it. For that woman, who didn't even know our Lord, just she'd heard the stories, for that woman to think that if she touched a piece of fabric, years of bleeding would come to an end. And the Protestants and the modernists criticize us for our devotion to the relics of the saints and of our Lord and our Lady. The relics. Anything that even touched our Lord. And yet there it is, right in the sacred scripture. That lady was desperate enough. Sometimes it takes us a while to get to that point, doesn't it? But eventually most of us do. To give up our own reasoning and to go to our Lord. Please remember to go with his mother, because you'll get there safely. What can the divine doctor do for you today? What part of your life do you want Almighty God to touch? It could be illness. It could be some medical condition which you cannot shake. Or it could be a habit or a pattern of sin which still haunts you. It's so hard to put it away. Or it could be a sense of shame or of guilt over past sin. Or it could be the wounds inflicted by the carelessness or the sins of others. Whatever it is, there is a victory which our risen Lord wants you to have so that you may have your full share of his Easter peace. This is the victory, but you must believe strong theological faith which overflows into every dark crevice of your soul and triumphs finally at the end in trust. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.